Today, on the Nerd Outcast podcast, we talk about Super Smash Brothers! Hello and welcome back. I'm your host, Chris Bastian, and we're going to talk about the Nintendo extravaganza fighting game, Super Smash Brothers. I felt this was very appropriate because about a week from the time that you are hearing this, the newest rendition of Super Smash Brothers will be out for the Nintendo Wii U. And this is a game that is generally only released once per console cycle. It's probably even more rare than Zelda. And I thought it would be a good time to do a podcast about it and kind of see why Smash Brothers is the hit that it is and if it holds up against other fighters and what we exactly like about it. So, as is typical for this podcast, I have brought on a couple of experts who feel they can speak with some authority. I know them both very well, and they know the ever-living crap out of this game. My first expert has been on before. He's over in New York, and his name is...
He's Scott Ross.
Hey, Scott. How you doing?
How's it going?
Pretty good. So we just had you on the Final Fantasy podcast, which was a genuine pleasure, by the way.
It was awesome. So much fun.
And in that podcast, you mentioned that Final Fantasy was not your favorite game. Your favorite game, you said, was Super Smash Brothers.
Absolutely. Bar none. Absolutely.
So just in case someone's listening to you for the first time, what type of gamer are you?
I love action RPGs, JRPGs, Super Smash Brothers. I get into Mario Kart. I'm really a Nintendo fanboy, but definitely a PlayStation person as well. Love all the action RPGs. Not so much a shooter, but if you get me into a more of an action RPG type shooter, like then maybe I'll get into it, but not just like balls out shooting. I'm not a fan of that. But other than that, Mario, Zelda, Mega Man, platformers. I love a good platformer, Super Meat Boy, stuff like that.
And yet your favorite game is a fighting game.
That's correct. And I don't like any other fighting games. I mean, I've played them, but I don't like any other fighting games, but this game is special.
Okay. If you could sum up why this game is special to you in just like a quick... short sentence or whatnot. How would you say it?
Well, one, I'm a Nintendo fanboy. So you put a game with all of the best characters of Nintendo, all recognizable, some not, but they become recognizable as you play with them more. You put them and then you have them beat the crap out of each other in a hilarious, cartoony way. That's one reason. And a quick segue to that is this is a fighting game that anybody can pick up and play. You don't have to memorize a whole bunch of moves or special moves. They're all there. But those moves right there can be mastered and take the game to a completely different level. So I just love that it's both simple to learn, but it's like chess. You can learn it, but man, it has a whole nother level of mastery.
All right. Well, hold on to your thoughts and feelings about Smash Brothers. We will delve in very shortly. My next expert is also in New York. He is also a crazy Smash fan, and he has also been on before, and his name is...
Tom Brown.
Hi, Tom. Welcome back.
Hey, Chris.
And again, we had you on the Game of Thrones podcast, and also a very genuine pleasure.
That was a lot of fun. I listened to that podcast and had just as much fun listening to it as I did being on it, which is to say a lot.
Yeah, it was great. And in that podcast, you said that your favorite book was Super Smash Brothers.
Isn't that strange? Yes, it is.
So, Tom, in case someone is listening to you... what type of gamer are you? Because I think you were a Genesis kid, correct? So, yeah.
Yeah, I grew up with Genesis. I mean, eventually I started to become familiar with the PS and the Nintendo. But, yeah, I started with Genesis. I mean, Sonic the Hedgehog, some Wonder Boy back in the day. Recently, I mean, ever since Half-Life, those kinds of games have kind of interested me. And there are so many of them. Oh, man. My God. Like Last of Us, Borderlands, Uncharted. I love those games. Those are all a lot of fun. The first-person shooter, I love it. but I really love video games with good story.
Well, so. See, that's so interesting. There's I know. So what is it? What is it about Smash Brothers that draws you to it?
Well, I like very few fighting games like Scott. I did enjoy Mortal Kombat, and I really love Tekken. I've devoted many hours to Tekken. But like Scott said, the whole strand of up, down, A, B, blah, 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 you know, whatever controller you're playing on, like the several different buttons to create one gesture on the screen, it's counterintuitive to me. Unlike Smash Brothers, where a button equals a move, and then a direction plus a button equals a different move. So that's it. I mean, that's the entirety of learning the controls. You don't need to learn a string of 16 button presses to do one finishing move. You know what I mean? And that's enjoyable, because studying a magazine to get the right move down, that kind of takes the enjoyment away a little bit from a fighting game, you know. Then again, I did it for Tekken. I did eventually do it, but I really did appreciate that about Smash Brothers.
Okay.
Easy to learn, hard to master kind of thing.
All right. Well, hold on to your thoughts. We will, like I said, delve in very shortly. As is typical for my podcast, I have brought on a couple of outcasts who do not know as much about the topic, or dare I say, don't like it. I am one of them. The other one who has been on the show before, his name is...
Pete Foos. Hello, hey. Everyone.
Hi, Pete. Welcome back. You were also on the Game of Thrones podcast, which, again, great time.
That's so much fun.
I feel I've done a bit of a disservice. I have labeled you and I as outcasts, which is not entirely true, because we both have played quite extensively Super Smash Brothers, but we are nowhere near the level of expertise that Tom and Scott are at. So I kind of feel...
Correct. I agree.
We're approaching it from a different experience almost. I have never played professionally, like in a tournament. I think some of you gentlemen have, or at least have attempted to.
We tried. Nobly. Sort of.
So Pete, let's spend a little time with you. What type of gamer are you, my friend?
Primarily, I've always been an RPG gamer, but I really love shooters too. There's something catchy about them. So my favorite game then, of course, becomes Mass Effect, which is the shooter RPG of the universe. Anywho, but as far as fighting games go, I've loved fighting games since the beginning. Mortal Kombat, Street Fighter, huge Street Fighter fan.
Hmm.
And but Smash Brothers is my second favorite fighting game, next to Marvel vs. Capcom, the Marvel vs. Capcom series.
Anything you want to say right now up at the top about Smash Brothers before we jump in?
I actually am familiar with Smash Brothers since the very beginning. My best friend got the first one on N64, and we played the heck out of that. And then we got it on GameCube, and then I went to college, and we had on the new one on GameCube, and mm-hmm. so on and so forth.
Right.
And every game, and then the Wii came out, and every game I got into, and every game it just got better, and I loved it, and it really has a knack for changing enough with the times, but keeping that same fun. I could pick up the N64 and play the same characters that I can play in the Wii, and they have the similar techniques. I like how it's lasted like that.
I'm kind of in your boat, Pete. I was raised Street Fighter 2, Mortal Kombat 2, and then stuck with Mortal Kombat longer. Had the pleasure of working on Mortal Kombat, actually, so I'm definitely a Mortal Kombat fanboy, but never really got into Tekken. I personally have never felt like I'm a very good at fighting games. I feel I'm generally really bad at them. It's the one genre I'm like, womp womp. Although
Chris, I agree with you. I'm bad at
he thinks you're terrible too.
I'm bad at most fighting games. Literally, I don't like any of them, and I think I'm not good at any of them, though I may like them. And I think that's why Smash was so special for me, because it was the first fighting game that I really was good at.
You know, then let's talk about that. Let's talk about what Smash Brothers is for those who are listening who don't know, and how it differentiates itself from other fighters. Super Smash Brothers is a series of fighting games. I believe there are 5 or 6 games total as of, well, when the new one comes out. It was released in 1999, directed by Masahiro Sakurai. And the game originally started as something known as Dragon King, the fighting game. And boy, does that sound really boring and generic. And it was a Japanese release only. During development, it was Mr. Iwata, who is now head of Nintendo, who came up with the idea of perhaps we should put Nintendo characters into this. And it suddenly became a very much, very different type of game and atmosphere. And two things that jump out at me, or probably anyone who plays a fighting game right off the bat. Three things, actually. We already touched on one. Super Smash Bros. Does not require usually any type of extravagant inputs to pull off moves. Each move and each special move is mapped to certain buttons on the controller, and that is standard across all the characters. So that's it's easy to pick up, like I believe Tom said, but very hard to master. Two things, though, that really, really stand out to me is, in this game, there are no life bars. You win by smashing people off the screen, which means you literally knocked them off the screen. And the more damage you take, the more higher your probability is of an attack launching you off the screen. In addition to that, I don't know if this was common at the time, in 1999, but this was one of the first games that I can think of where the battlefields were actually really large and you had a lot of mobility. You were not stuck into just facing each other like in Tekken or Mortal Kombat and just jumping around each other. Like, if you want to be on the other side of the stage and hide from your opponent or do whatever you want, you can. And some of these stages were really, really huge. So right off the bat, those are like three very specific things that I think sets Smash Brothers apart from other fighters. Scott, let me jump over to you. As I said, this is a series of video games. The first one came out in 99 for the N64. 2001, we got Super Smash Bros. Melee for the GameCube. 2008, we got Super Smash Bros. Brawl for the Wii. And now, like I said, the Wii U one is about to come out. Did you play this in 1999 on the N64?
You know, I played it one time. It was towards the end of the N64, I kind of stopped really playing Nintendo, and I think this was the same time that the PlayStation had just come out, and I think Final Fantasy VII had just come out, and I was playing a lot of PlayStation games and Resident Evil, but there was a gap of my Nintendo playing towards the end of the N64. And I don't know why, but there was just that large gap. I really didn't play Majora's Mask. I really, you know, I played a little bit, but post, you know, Mario Kart Ocarina of Time, I really didn't play too much in 64, just going through, you know, weird childhood things that just kind of happens. When Smash Brothers Melee came out, another funny story, me being a Nintendo fanboy, I just didn't know that the new console was out. I had no idea. I go home for Christmas break and I go to the electronic boutique because that's what they had back then.
Oh, way to bring it back.
I remember.
Was it right next to the Comp USA?
It was, yes. And the Circuit City. Exactly.
Circuit City was that.
So, so I was like, oh my God, I'm going to buy it. So I just bought it. I got the GameCube and I got the game that was just out for it, which was Super Smash Bros. Melee. And then my addiction began.
Yeah, I never played the N64 version, and having played the later versions of Smash Brothers, I cannot imagine playing the N64, because I know the Nintendo 64 was not a very fast machine. No. It could be taxed, and it could chug along very easily, so I can only imagine that the N64 version of Smash Brothers is probably actually a very slow game.
I have some input here. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Because I had the privilege of playing that the N64 version a lot. I was one of the few owners of an N64. And the game, it was fun. It was fun for all the same reasons. And you're right, it did chug along. The character moves were slower. But it was tactical. And all the characters moved heavy and hit hard. So it was a lot like a bunch of bruisers going at it. It was all like Bowsers and Ganons. Instead of, you know, Marios and Foxes and Falcos.
Was it four player?
It was
four I would player. Imagine yes. It would be, yeah.
Yes, it is.
Okay. Yeah. Nice. Scott, let me finish with you. When you did jump on board the Smash train with Melee, what was like your first reaction or experience for you?
My first experience was with Mr. Tom Brown. Tom came over my house that Christmas break, right after Christmas, and we spent the entire holiday break together. I got the system about a week before he showed up, so I had a week of practice on him, and I played nothing but Link. And I just played nothing but Link, and I was killing the game and owned the game and just was killing it. Tom picks Bowser, and Tom plays me.
This is my first choice, having never played the game, and anyone who's played it would realize this is the dumbest choice against Link. Like, I'm just this giant, walking, heavy target, and Link is like, boing, you know, jumping around, the down sword thrust thing, bouncing
multiple times.
So many times.
So I tell you, I have so much respect for Tom because of this. Tom literally got his ass beat for a good solid 2 months.
Yeah.
I mean, a solid 2 months where he just did nothing but get his ass beat by me. And he kept playing and he kept wanting to play. Mm. I don't think I could have done that. But Tom did. He kept playing. And then one day Tom's like, you know what? I'm going to switch. I'm going to switch to Falco.
Yes.
He switches to Falco and proceeds to destroy me. And all
I was my thumbs were so fast for moving Bowser around, you know. So when I got Falco, I was like, oh my gosh, he's so much faster and quicker. And
yeah. I was there for that moment. It was special.
Yeah. That made it all worth it.
So then Tom started beating me repeatedly. Well, it took me a lot less time, but in about I think 3 or 4 days, I was like, I gotta find somebody quicker. I'm too slow. I gotta find somebody quicker. So I found Mario.
Are you implying that the hero of time is slow?
Yeah.
He's a heavy, powerful character.
Here's a big sword and a giant
shield. He's
got a great
reach. He's got a great reach. That's very
important.
Great
reach, yes.
He's got chainmail on. I mean,
yes. And I wasn't playing him as well as Link can be played. Link can really be played really well. Not so much in melee, but just because there's so many unbelievably better options. So anyway, I pick up Mario, and finally I start owning his Falco. Well, Tom, realizing that Falco gives up too much power, he then switches to Fox, and then Tom and I had epic battles as those two characters, both of them being our favorite characters, and we played that, and we've kept those characters forever.
Yeah, ever since.
Well, Scott has inadvertently dragged you into the discussion, Tom. So I want to jump over to you. First off, had you played the N64 version of Smash Brothers?
No, I never had ever even heard of it. I had an N64. I just never became aware of that game.
Okay, so when you went to visit Scott and proceeded to have your ass handed to you for 2 months, was that your first experience with Smash Brothers?
Yeah, and these characters, you know, I was only passing familiar with many of them because, again, I didn't have a Nintendo growing up. So,
sure.
You know, of course, I had Mario and Samus and Yoshi. But who the crap was? I mean, I knew, like, Roy and Marth, who, I don't even know who those people are.
Oh, we didn't really know who those guys were.
Oh, yeah, I guess they were just a Japanese game.
Yeah,
but
that was
Kirby and Ness.
Kirby, Ness, no. Game & Watch, no. No idea.
Game & Watch!
So what other... So you were not entrenched in the Nintendo nostalgia.
Right.
So what about the game kept pulling you back to it? Especially like for sticking with a character who... Yeah, for almost 2 months or however long you played Bowser for specifically.
A lot of the things that I like about the game are some of the stuff we've mentioned. The stages, not being just flat necessarily, having different terrain, being sometimes massive to the point where you could run away from each other ad nauseum just forever. Or you can have up to 4 people playing at a time and it never feel crowded. I also like, you know, the zooming in when you get close. It's very epic. It feels very epic compared, juxtaposed to these silly cartoon characters fighting each other. There's no blood, but it still feels intense and epic at the same time. I also really enjoyed the fact that all the characters have the exact same moves. I mean, button combinations to create moves. And yet, they're all of them... are totally different. Like each character's way of, you know what I'm saying? Like a B on Kirby is totally different than a B for Link, you know? Mm-hmm. So I really enjoyed the differences. I liked all the different settings. I had never played a fighting game where you could be giant on a stage. Oh, and the items. We haven't even talked about the items.
We'll get to the items, yeah.
So much fun. I mean, it added a lot of fun. Also, it's also fun to play without items, but the customizability of the game, the tourneys, it's a delightful game. Mortal Kombat was literally you fought, and the adventure mode was playing a series of battles, and that was it. I mean, that was the extent of the creativity you got from some of those games. So I really enjoyed this game for a fighting game.
Pete, I want to jump to you. Did having like played Mortal Kombat and other fighters growing up, and I don't think it would work, but was the lack of like blood or like killing your opponent?
It was originally off-putting, I'll have to say it, because as a teenage boy, I liked playing Mortal Kombat and ripping body parts off of my opponent, and I enjoyed Street Fighter, where I'm just ripping them into the ground and dancing over their body. But Smash Brothers, I wish I could put my finger on it as to why it is so entertaining compared to those. Without the blood, it still looks painful. When the characters get smashed around, it still has that, you know, America's Funniest Home Videos feel of like, oh. And so when you smash them off the screen, you have the computer voices chime in and they start cheering, and then you start doing well against your opponent and they start chanting for your character. Those little touches made it feel a lot more fun than Street Fighter.
I mean, I was obviously not on the development team for this game, but I think they realized you can't have Link decapitating Mario, or you don't want to like have these very gratuitous acts of violence. Even just the absence of blood, which by today's standards is pretty tame at this point. I think they realized they needed to make the game absurdly dramatic
compensate. Music is very dramatic. I like the aspect of as your percentage goes up, it changes the gameplay. Like, you become more unstable on the screen. You fly farther when hit. Mm. There's a lot of dynamic things going on during the game.
The reason why the game works, as far as violence, is when you have two characters fighting and they're going back, both are at high percentage, and finally somebody lands a smash attack. Yeah. It's like an explosion on the screen.
Yeah, it's an explosion.
And the character goes flying off the screen.
There are
so
graphics
fast.
Of explosiveness.
You don't need blood. You know that character just got their head ripped off.
And if they hit the side too hard, they explode.
Oh my
this
God,
pillar.
So they did a brilliant, brilliant job of making cartoon violence, you know, because if you have a room full of people and they're watching that and then the smash attack goes off, everybody goes, oh!
So are there any other ways, and I'm just going to kind of throw this out there for whoever wants to answer to this, however, but what other ways does Smash Brothers set itself apart from other fighters?
The mixture of the genres. That's why it's actually the same reason that Marvel vs. Capcom is up on my list. Hmm. I like the what-if scenarios. What if Snake from Metal Gear fought Link from Zelda? That's an interesting question, and I'd like to find the answer to that. And I love that about the game.
We already touched on it, but I'll talk about Marvel vs. Capcom is a game that I absolutely despise. But I am in the minority in this, and I appreciate the fact that I'm in the minority of this. But let me explain why. I bought Marvel vs. Capcom 3, and I was like, okay, this is the big game. We had a good time with Marvel vs. Capcom 2. I always lost, but I'm going to figure this game out. I'm going to do it. It's going to be great, blah, 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 blah. So they have a great training mode in that version of the game. And they're like, you can do this move by doing this. And there's a list of 16 buttons. Okay, 16 buttons. Okay, and I try to do it, and I do what it tells me, and it doesn't work. Okay, and I try it again. I'm pressing the buttons. You're telling me, what am I doing wrong? It's not telling me how fast or how slow. And I sat there and could not get the combo. And so in the new Marvel's Capcom 3, you can put it on easy mode, where you just tap one button and it automatically combos for you. And it was so much easier. Yes.
Oh. That changes things.
It was so easy to do that because why not? Why learn all the button combinations when you could put it on easy mode and you can play online and nobody knows that you're on easy mode? You don't have like a little, I'm playing on easy mode. No. And so you just do all these combos, and I never got better at the game. I never actually figured it out. And, you know, that's just, and that was, you know, that's what that is. But ooh. Smash Brothers, like, down B is the down special. Up B is probably your recovery move. You know, it's almost every character recovers with an up B, you know?
Except Yoshi.
Yeah, exactly. Ness okay. Technically doesn't. You have to shoot yourself in the ass with it to get Ness to recover. But you know the moves for one character. You can switch from another character. In any other game, you know the moves from one character. You switch characters, and you have to learn a complete different set of 16 buttons. And it's daunting when you see 82 characters in Marvel vs. Capcom 3, and you gotta pick three of them. You're like, gotta pick three of them? I can't even learn the 16-button combo for this one little cat bitch. How am I supposed to learn another 16-button combo?
It's different for each character. So you have to learn, like, 20 different sets of moves for every character. Nonsense.
It's just like, it's not fun. It wasn't any fun. And then
you
like,
can't really button mash in Smash Brothers either. You kind of need to hit the move you want to do. I mean, mashing has limited success, I think, opposed to Tekken or, say,
yeah, because in those
Marvel
games, you're trying to get somebody's health bar down. But in Smash Brothers, it has nothing to do. I mean, you want to get their percentage higher, but you've got to get them off the stage, you know? And you can get somebody off the stage at 70%, or if you're Mario and, you know, you can survive, you know, at 150% and have Tom throw something at you and complain that Mario is a better character because he never plays off the stage.
Well, how many times have you guys played the other kinds of combat games and, like, the final finishing move is, like, a stupid little fucking sweep to take out that last little inch of health bar, and you're like, what a great game, everyone.
That's such a good point.
And it's nothing like that in Smash Brothers. It always ends epically because you have to. That's the only way it ends.
Yeah,
I mean, yes, we keep saying that, but they also have coin matches, and they do have hit points matches, which are not as fun.
Yeah.
You know, go ahead, Scott.
I just got to tell Tom this. He'll be so angry. So another little story about when Tom and I would play. I remember the day I broke Tom's heart. He was so mad at me. We played back and forth. We were pretty even with Mario and Fox. Mario has a cape move, a sweeping cape. Tom would always use Fox to get back on the board. He would, you know, up B, his fire dash, and angle up to grab the ledge.
I know where this is going.
So one day I'm playing the computer. I was Fox, just, you know, being just playing around, and I was playing level 9 Mario, and I did that, and the level 9 Mario spun his cape, threw me back the other way, and I crashed and died when I tried to recover.
For those who don't know, the cape move in Melee just reverses an attack direction that's aimed at you.
It also drifts Mario's person. If he's flailing through the air, it kind of hovers him a little bit, drifts him a little. Scott was doing R&D, basically. I hope everyone caught that. He was playing the opposite character to see, to learn new moves that the computer would teach him. Heights of nerdery that has not been seen. That's what that
is. So I did it on Tom in their match, and he screamed so loud. He was so mad. And then from then on, every time I would beat him, Tom, he would be like, oh, well, Mario, Mario just has this unbelievable ability to stay on the screen.
No.
He just can't.
Here's what it was.
wait, I have to finish.
All right.
Explain.
This goes somewhere. I'll let you explain when I'm done, but this goes somewhere. Because he would always say, oh, you're doing this, blah, 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 blah. Well, one, Smash Brothers tournament fighters have a word for people who did what Tom did. And it says, no Johns. No Johns is what they say. I guess there was a guy named John who every time he would lose, he'd blame it on the controller or blame it on the character mismatch or blame it on something. So he would say,
no
Johns.
So bad.
I would say no Johns. But two, it actually revealed something that I was doing that I had no idea I was doing, which is a secret advanced technique of Super Smash Bros. Melee, which is called DI, or directional influence. Every time Tom would smash me with Fox, I didn't know I was doing this. I was pressing directions on the control pad just for fun. I didn't know it was actually doing anything, but you can control the trajectory that you get hit off the screen. And with certain characters, if you pick the, you know, the longest line to the edge of the outbox, you will actually grant yourself, you know, a higher threshold of percentage that you can have before you get hit off the thing. And it's techniques like that. Like, there are a thousand.
Hang on. You literally just said that you are pushing the joystick in the opposite direction from the direction you're being shot. That's the advanced technique?
No, it's a little bit different than that. For on the melee, you have to press it in an opposite upwardly diagonally direction. If you get hit north, you have to press left or right because you have to make your trajectory to make a long line to the hitbox. Does that make sense? You get hit straight up.
You said
right?
North. Yeah. So
you hit
don't
straight
hit
up. You yeah. hit right
it's
or
like
left.
It's like playing pool. You hit them, yeah. And you're.
And so you get the furthest line. So if you're.
Does it.
At,
oh, I see what you're saying. Yes. It, yeah. To get it to far, the far. Push yourself to the farthest possible way before you get out, is what you're saying.
Correct. You want the longest line because you want. If you travel on a diagonal, you're going to fly farther without going outside the square.
But just intuitively, I did that anyway. Just like when you bowl and you're kind of contort your body to make it go in the direction you want. I was doing that with the joystick. Every time Fox went off to the left, I was pushing upright to get him on the screen just because, you know, I mean, I assumed it.
In the vain attempt.
Yeah. Even if it wasn't working, I was still doing it just because my...
the funny thing is that if you didn't do it every time, it actually had a strong, strong effect on the game. And it did in all the other games too. There's different versions of it. In the new one, it's now called vectoring because it's a little bit different. It's actually easier because it wasn't. I think I'm explaining it a little too easy. It's not just as simple as you pressing the opposite direction. It actually has to do with diagonals and anyway.
Well, the point I was real pissed about the cape thing was less about the thing about you hitting Fox's up B because that was really tough for you to hit. And if you missed, then you got hit. So that, you know. 1 out of 10 times, that wasn't a reason to be pissed. But when you discovered that, that meant you could be at such a high percentage and not get hit off because you could just slowly float back rather than fall off the edge. You never had you had far less trouble getting back to the edge. And the reason why I was always complaining is because no matter what, my percentage always was a full 50 or 60 lower when I got hit off the screen and died versus yours. That you know true. What I mean? Because I didn't have anything to stall me like a...
Yeah. Well, you'll be happy to know, Tom, that Mario's cape in Smash Bros. 4 does not move him forward. It does make him hover, but it does not move him forward like it did in the other games.
Wonder why they fixed that.
So now...
Basically, Nintendo agrees with me, is what you're saying.
Hopefully...
Okay, that's cool.
Our listeners stuck to that very technical description.
That was insane.
As we have learned, these games are very finely tuned machines. And the real frightening thing for Smash Brothers, at least not anymore, now they can retcon this, but at least up and through the Brawl version, if not past that, once these games were released, there was no way to patch them. There was no patching or DLC, even for the Brawl version, at least not that I'm aware of. But if they released the game and it was broken or imbalanced in some way, that was it. Like, that's done.
You know, that is, believe it or not, the reason why Smash Brothers Melee is such a popular competitive game is because of all the mistakes that Nintendo made in the game. Because there are these techniques, like you shouldn't be able to, you know, affect your trajectory. Whether they didn't mean for that to happen, it just happened. The other thing, there is this huge, huge, and Tom, we never figured this out. I only learned this a month ago and didn't even know it existed. But all of the major competitive Melee players, all of them wave dash. It is the biggest thing in the game is you have to learn how to wave dash. And you do a small jump in the air. Immediately followed by an air dash and you diagonal down. Okay, if you remember when you air dash,
the block in the air that makes you invincible. Okay,
yes, and then you remember you can move in Melee, you could move your air dash.
Yes, yes,
and remember I figured out with Link you could air dash and move over and then Z the and grab on to the platform.
Yes,
so if you do a quick jump in the air and then air dash down very, very quickly, I'm talking about in the matter of milliseconds, your character will dash forward, but he will not be running. meaning you can do jab, 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 three punches, or you can do a smash attack while you're running and advancing forward.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
Are you aerial? I'm confused. Are you actually off the ground still?
Well,
or do you hit the ground?
You jump and you angle down with the air dash, so you do hit the ground, but you're off the ground like a millimeter. And then you go right to the ground and you slide, and then you can do all this crazy stuff. That's one thing. And the other thing that we never did was L-canceling. Those are the two main advanced techniques. Wave dashing, L-canceling. L-canceling, remember how every time I would play Link and I'd do a down A attack, right?
Yep.
Down A attack, and if I missed it, I was dead in the water because I would just stick in the ground and stay there. Well, there's something called lag after you do an aerial or after you land. It's lag. You do and the animation starts. He pulls his sword out and he brings it back up and then he's neutral. Mm. In Melee, you can L cancel or lag cancel and you can press the block button out of that in a certain time frame, in a certain freeze frame, and you will cancel out of the animation of you pulling the sword up.
That's could use that for Bowser a lot.
That's obviously a mistake. It was a mistake in the game. But those mistakes that Nintendo made the game even more faster than it already was. I mean, Melee is lightning fast. There is not a fighting game, I think, that is that fast. They clocked it like the Melee players have to, you know, enter like 10 button presses in a second or something, like 5 to 10 in a second. It's ridiculous.
And yet you mock my button combinations. I swear to God.
Well, then, like I said, this is... but
now, every one button does something, though.
So does mine. I don't know what game you're playing.
An entry-level player can pick up the game and punch and kick and smash and do amazing cool things. You can't do cool things in Marvel vs. Capcom unless you know what you're doing.
Down, up, left, left, right, right, left, left, left. That's one move. That's not the same thing. It's
that gives you
like
nine
that.
Lives in every
Guys,
Konami
you went
game.
On for 10 minutes how much you hate the game. I can say one thing in
no,
defense.
You can't. Never.
Actually, he has the conk of Outcast. He is allowed to.
Oh,
okay. I want to focus on something Scott brought up. One thing that you mentioned, Scott, was that... you're talking about all these different techniques, and I don't think, all these very specific things that advanced players have found, and I don't think we've really talked about how extensive the Smash community is, and that the game is often at EVO, which I don't actually know what that acronym stands for, but it's a fighting championship. Yeah, that happens every year. And even people who are fans and have bought every version of Smash Brothers often point to Melee as being the best in the series. And I know, specifically for the tournaments, certain characters are not allowed because of the game being in balance towards them, or there's certain moves that you are not allowed to do. Some people, I don't know, I've never played in a tournament, but I know some refuse to play in a tournament with items. Some people take items out, and then it, you know, I guess it kind of becomes more of a, closer to a traditional fighter in that sense. Yeah, have any of you played in, like, a tournament or attempted to rank in one?
We three did. We all went together.
We did.
Yes, we did.
How was that experience?
It was a lot of fun.
It smelled.
I was going to leave the smell aspect of it till later, but yeah, there was a definite giant hotel room conference room, right? Giant, huge, filled with about 200-300 teens, boys, who brought their own televisions
As did we. But we were the three oldest people in the room. And so that in itself intimidated me, actually. I was like, I may not supposed to be here. I was
looking for just one other casual gamer, like someone else who's there just because they like the game, not because they're obsessed with the game, and in fact, kind of, you know, just that's all they ever do.
I found one. That was the third guy I played against. He was like me. His friends convinced him to come along and just join.
Yeah, I went to a Mortal Kombat tournament that was ranking for a larger tournament out of the Chicago area, and there were no casual players there. Everyone there was a badass when it came to Mortal Kombat, which was a real big turnoff for me, because I was like, oh, I just wanted to come here and play against other people, but I'm like, I'm playing against the best people, and it's not fun because they're so good. And they were actually insulted that I would even sit down and pick up the controller because it was a waste of their time. They're like, oh, no, let me go fight Neko447. Like, I've got to fight him. He's the one that I've got to beat to advance. And it's like, okay, there's... it was actually a tournament. Like, it was a tournament, and that's the mentality it was in. And I know that there's a lot of Smash tournaments that are run with that mentality. It's probably true of all fighting game tournaments, honestly, but...
I mean, it's a different subculture. Absolutely is a different subculture, and every game, you know, has its own things like that. We did have a good time. My mind was blown at what could be done, you know, with the game. And, you know, if we'd have played more with people like that who had played that well, Tom, we'd have gotten that good, too.
No, we got better while we were there.
Yeah.
I mean,
we got so much better in a day. And I thought to myself, God, if we'd have been doing this with people who were better than us from day one, I can't even imagine.
We learned so much. I mean, oh my gosh, just the ice climber, little stupid dodge, dash, and tap on the other side, like that thing.
Juggling.
Yeah, man.
You know, one thing we haven't touched on, we kind of glossed over it, but talking about the moves for each character, Nintendo really honors the characters that they're using. Because, like, if we take Link, for example, all of his moves are based from the games that he has been in. So if you are a fan of the Zelda series, it is a joy to see Link acting and fighting in a way that is consistent with the games that he is from. The same with Mario. I remember the one that really shocked me, that made me really happy, was the fact that in Super Smash Bros. Brawl, Solid Snake, who is a third-party character, who is a Konami character, he's not Nintendo, you can actually use his codex and call Roy Campbell and whoever else to give you information about who you're fighting. And the very fact that they put in all of this narrated dialogue from the voice actor about all these characters was... Like, the amount of fan service that Smash Brothers brings to the table is wonderful. It's so amazing.
Agreed. Nintendo obviously loves each character they put in there. Whoever's working on it, they find the things that is cool about their world, their game. Because each character, you know, they have their own stage designed around them. And everything in the background is everything from those games. You'll see, like, the Metroid stages are... There's all kinds of, you could see Ridley flying in the background, and you do the escape zone. It's all, there's love. There's love in the game.
Yeah, the stages are really excellent. Really excellent. All of the hazards, the changing of the scenery sometimes. I mean, I loved it. Ice Climbers stage. Didn't really love it, but, you know, it was interesting.
I hated
fighting on it.
It's fascinating. I mean, obviously, this is a game where you would expect to see Mario, Zelda, Samus. It's interesting, then, to see the lesser Nintendo properties of like, the Ice Climbers, who only had one game, correct? Am I correct? They only ever had one game,
Sounds right.
Yeah.
A long time ago, like an older game.
Yeah. The only company I can think of that has the breadth of characters... to even attempt to do something like this is Capcom. And they had to reach out to Marvel to flesh out their franchise for their fighting game. So it's really impressive the detail and care that Nintendo puts into this game. And that's probably why you only get one per console generation.
Yeah, I don't see making another one for a console. There's not... I mean, what do you do? I remember when Brawl came out and they were talking about the next Smash Brothers... And, you know, the creator made it clear that if we're going to do another Smash Brothers, we're not just going to add more characters. Like, what's the point if you just add more characters? Yeah. And I think that's definitely true with Smash 4 than from Brawl to Melee. Because I really think from Brawl to Melee, adventure mode, you know, the storyline mode was a really great addition. Oh, God, I've lost my train of thought.
I was going to ask you, do you know of any other changes that occur between Brawl and Melee? I'm trying to think of some other than adventure mode.
A lot of the changes with Brawl were what I was talking about before, the wave dashing, the L canceling, all these advanced techniques that were pretty much, they're not glitches per se, but they're a manipulation of the physics of the game.
Right.
All of those were taken out in Brawl. to the chagrin of the entire competitive Melee community. Not only that, the Wii was very clear on being marketed to the mass people. They were very clear that we are making Nintendo Wii for everyone. We are not making it for you. We are making it for everyone. And Brawl is noticeably slower. Not so much that the attacks are slower, but the air battle. But when you jump in Brawl, it's a very flighty, very floaty experience with Brawl. Now, I got used to that, and when I went back to Melee, I couldn't play it anymore. Mm-hmm. And so I would say I enjoy Brawl more now. But Melee is just sharp, fast, slick, and Brawl lost all that because they were catering to the mass public. Apparently, Smash 4 is in between of both of those.
Well, I want to say they don't just only cater to the public, because for no other game that I can think of, they've created a new controller for every iteration. I'm sorry. They've created a retro controller for the GameCube from the GameCube. You know what I'm trying to say. I can't get it out. But
they've
the GameCube controller, they keep releasing it for every new system so that those people can still enjoy it the way they're used to enjoying the game, which
That's
I really
true.
Appreciate.
That's true, but remember, for the Wii, the GameCube controllers were already a part of the Wii, so they didn't specifically do it for Brawl. I think that change in philosophy has come recently with the new Wii U, because, I mean, for EVO 2013, Nintendo told them that they couldn't stream the competition online, which is just... Why would they not want free advertising for their new franchise?
That's ridiculous.
Isn't that awful? Yeah, Nintendo sent a cease and desist to the owners of to the tournament planners of EVO to say they couldn't stream it online. And there was an enormous, enormous backlash from the internet community. Enormous. So much that 5 hours later, they retracted and said, okay, you can do it, because everybody's pissed off at us now.
Welcome to the 21st century.
Yeah, I don't think they just didn't realize, you know. But it's funny, if Melee were to come out now with all the possibilities of patches, they would have fixed all those issues, and the Smash competitive community probably wouldn't exist, because you can't take the game without those little tricks and trades. You really can't take the game as deep as it went.
You're absolutely right. It created a culture around the game. And not just that, like you could hack the game. You could hack your GameCube, stick in, I never
figured this
out.
The Wii,
sorry,
not the GameCube.
The Wii. So I'm totally wrong. Never mind. It's all on the Wii. I was going to say what the GameCube is.
That's Project M. You know, they created Project M to make Brawl more like Melee. They added back wave dashing. They added back... This is hackers who did this.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that's what Project M was. They added back, you know, the L canceling and all the other crazy crap. It's just too many. It's too many crazy techniques to even figure out. But they added that back in for Project M.
Let me check in with my outcast. So, Pete, I have a couple questions that I want to throw out, but I want to check in with you. Is there anything we've talked about, or are there any... things you want to focus on, or questions that you have with the Conk of Outcast that you have?
No, most of my questions are actually going to involve the new game that's coming out.
Ooh.
Yeah, because I'm interested, and I'm debating buying a Wii U, but it would be kind of specifically for this game, maybe Mario Kart.
Oh! It's so good.
Go on, Pete. You've riled Scott up, but keep going.
No, I'm saying the reasons I would want to buy a Wii U. My questions are, so if you don't have the special GameCube edition controller for Wii U, do you really have to play Smash on that big old interactive console thing?
The gamepad?
They have more than just that controller.
The gamepad? Okay.
Yeah, that's not the only controller they have.
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, you can play Smash Brothers Wii U on a Wiimote with a nunchuck, on a Wiimote without a nunchuck, on a Wiimote with a classic controller plugged in.
Six different styles.
Yeah,
there
really are.
You can play it on the gamepad. You can play it on a pro controller.
On a boat.
On a boat, on a plane. You can even turn your Nintendo 3DS into a controller and play it on that.
Are you at a disadvantage with certain types of controllers.
They give you every move on every controller, right? They have to.
Yeah,
yes, they do. Yes.
You might not have the flexibility, say, with the GameCube, with the little C-stick. That not everyone has a C-stick, so you can't do that.
That is correct. Now, look, if you learned on the Wiimote, you're going to be better with the Wiimote. I had a guy at the tournament we went to kick my ass with a Wiimote. And I don't know how he did it, because the Wiimote sucks to control.
Yeah, you got to do like the OG smash attacks. Yeah, you can't do that C-stick stuff.
Well, you know, because I've been playing the 3DS, there's no C-stick on the 3DS. I've been playing without a C-stick. And, you know, the good news is it taught me how to grab. Like, grabbing is such an integral part of the game. You have to do it. You have to learn how to do it.
Yep.
And it forced me to, because I couldn't rely on a quick down smash to get me out of trouble. You know, every controller, if you learn on one controller, it's going to be better. But what this does is when Smash comes out, I can invite 8 of my friends over, and I bet you in my ottoman, I haven't even looked, I bet you that I might have enough for 8 players. I might have enough controllers with Wiimotes and Pro controllers and game pads and GameCube controllers and my 3DS. I bet I have enough to do an 8-person all-at-once Smash. What could be better than that?
That does sound amazing.
We'll talk about the Wii U version here near at the end. But one thing I'd like to give a shout-out to that we haven't mentioned much about is, speaking as far as like Nintendo honoring the franchises, the soundtrack to Smash Brothers tends to be freaking brilliant. And we mentioned this in the Video Game Music Podcast. I think, Tom, you said that the Smash Brothers soundtrack was actually one of your favorites.
Yeah, I think specifically because what you said, and they orchestrate them all. They're all actually instruments playing the music, correct? Am I correct about that?
Yes.
Most of them, yes. Some are rearrangements, not necessarily with an orchestra, but yes. And in some instances, they reached out to the original composers of those franchises to come and provide their one or two songs for Smash Brothers, which is
that makes me like it even more.
Yeah.
It's such a great like fan game, like Scott said. It's so wonderful for the fans.
Another thing we didn't mention was just the amount of customization that you can do with Smash Brothers.
Yes.
Like if you want to have a if you want to have a battle that lasts like 10 seconds, you can. If you want to have a battle where everyone can only take one hit or be giant metal caricatures of themselves, you can, you know.
Or it lasts forever. Or you be tiny.
Yeah.
Or amazing amounts of bombs. Just bombs. We had several bomb matches, several Pokemon ball matches.
Oh, those are
quite a lot of fun.
I really like playing with items on. I know some people really hate the items. I really like the items.
I mean, sometimes it can really be like, okay, you won only because that item showed up right in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
That
when
sucks.
I play with newbies, when you play with noobs, I always turn items on because the easiest way for you to lose to a new player is to have a ba-bomb magically appear right when you're about to do a smash attack and then it kills you. So if I'm playing a bunch of new people, they'll be so happy and excited and I'll be like, that's crap. Whatever, we're having a good time. But when you're playing, like when Tom and I are like, all right, it's time to dance, Tom,
turn off the items.
We don't want any items. We want to see who's better at this game. Let's knock it out. So I love that it's easily turned on, turned off, turned up, turned down, a little, a lot. You can use all the items, only one of the items. That's very
just
important.
Baseball bats.
And I'm going to outcast myself here. I will say that items is one of the reasons I do like the game so much.
Me too.
Playing a game without items, that's when I say to myself, why am I not playing Street Fighter Alpha 2? Like, why am I not playing Soul Calibur?
Yeah, I agree with you, Pete. Like, items is one of the things that helps set Smash Brothers apart. So I'm kind of in your boat. Like, I it's dumb luck sometimes that lets you win a match, so I'm totally fine
true.
With
true, but I also like conquering someone who does have the Star Wand. You know, if they're coming at me with a baseball bat, I like ending
that. Catching
them,
an item thrown.
Mm-hmm. That's
you can do that. You can catch an item. I got to say one thing just to defend Smash a little bit too. Items is not what sets Smash apart. Items is a great, amazing addition. It's not what sets it apart. It's the familiarity of these characters who were in different universes all brought together. That and it's the only game where you don't have a health bar, and you deplete the health bar and you win. You have to get people off the ring, and they have to explode and die. And they can die at 20%, and they can die at 250%. It doesn't matter, you know? It's the only game that does that.
That's fair. I'll concede that because, no, I agree that the health bar can be cheesy at times, and it can really end the match weakly, like Tom said before. No, I absolutely agree with that. And Smash is the only other way I've seen fighting games done, and it makes sense. It makes perfect sense, and it works so well, and they're just the only ones to step outside that box and question the way we do fighting games. It's cool.
I have a couple of rapid-fire questions that I want to throw out to all of you, including you, Pete. Who is your favorite character across all versions of Smash Brothers, and why?
Here we go!
We'll start with you, Scott.
It's-a me, Mario.
I'm so happy that Mario ended up being my favorite character. I mean, Link, believe it or not, had been my favorite Nintendo character. He was the first character I tried to play in Melee, but it was Mario who I really figured out how to play and really played well. And he's just so well done. And really, his moveset really hasn't changed very much. And it doesn't matter because every game is different. All the physics of every game is still different. So there's still so much to learn in every game. But absolutely Mario.
Do you like him also because you happen to really enjoy the Mario Brothers games?
Oh, yeah. Okay. That definitely helps. But it also is the character who I'm just... who I've played the most, who I understand the most, who, you know.
Tom, what about you?
I mean, yeah, obviously I've played Fox the most. I really enjoy Fox. There is a big drawback to Fox. It's real easy to fuck yourself with Fox because any direction in B can kind of send you in a direction and... you know, it can be dangerous when you're near the edge of the screen. I've messed myself up many times with that. But I guess I'd have to say Fox, just because I've played him so much.
Have you played?
A lot of characters I love. I really do love Bowser. Mm-hmm. He's even better in Brawl than in Melee, because he's faster.
You'll be so happy, Tom, that he's even better in the Wii U version.
Oh, I can't wait. Because he's super powerful and hard to hit off because he's so heavy, you know?
Tom, I'm curious, have you played any of the Star Fox games?
I did play the Nintendo 64 one.
The non-Star Fox Star one? Fox game?
No. Star Fox 64.
Star Fox 64.
The one where it's actually flying. Yeah. Not the adventure one where he's like walking around. I never played that one.
Okay. Pete, what about you as my outcast? Is there a character that you really are drawn to?
I really enjoyed playing Snake in Brawl. I love playing Snake, and most specifically, his save move was great because he got this helicopter pad and he could just fly right off the board. It's so cheap. But he also, his up smash attack, he pulls out this mortar cannon, and the longer you charge it, the farther it flies into the air. And so I would do this running dash, and while I was dashing, I would hit the up smash, and he would charge it and slide at the same time. And if you let it go while you were sliding, it would go off the screen at the top and come back further in the direction you were aiming. And it would come back 5 seconds later. So you could start attacking the guy, knock him up, and he forgot about the smash attack. It lands on him and knocks him off the board. It's my favorite move. I love that.
It's impressive how easily they inserted him into the Smash Brothers universe. And it just works. Like, it works. The guy who fought Revolver Ocelot and has defeated many Metal Gears. Like, it works, you know? Like, yeah.
Ooh, I want to shout out the Pokemon trainer, just because of the concept of having essentially three characters in one and just alternate. Also, the same with Sheik and Zelda. You could swap back and forth between the two. I really enjoyed that aspect of gameplay. Mm-hmm.
Favorite stages to play on?
Yeah.
You know, my favorite. I'm so uneventful when I say what my favorite stage is. My favorite stage is by far Final Destination, because You, like, everything's out of the way. It's just, like, beat the crap out of each other. You can't run and hide. You can't go to the far ends of Hyrule Temple. You know, there's no wall infinites. It's just you and the other guy beat the crap out of each other.
Yep. After playing a lot of Smash, I kind of got tired of all of the levels that would constantly be changing and moving. Oh my gosh, every single Falcon level, just shoot myself in the face. They're terrible. I'm terrible to play on, but inventive and interesting. But after a while, you just want something that sits still. I preferred Battlefield because all of my moves were better from the air, so Battlefield suited me better than Final Destination, but it's between those two for
me. Which one was Battlefield?
That was the one with, it's basically a flat level and had, three platforms.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Final Destination is just a flat level, correct?
There's I do remember that. Yep.
Pete, what about you? Do you have a favorite level you like to play on?
Yes, but only when it's a crew of people. When it's four people playing. Well, now with a new one coming out, eight people playing the Hyrule Temple. Because you have these break off matches, and I can only imagine what it's going to be like with eight players. To have five of them fighting here, two fighting over here, and one guy maneuvering the bottom to I can't wait. I can't wait. It's going to be so cool.
You know, just to jump on the level discussion, there's two levels that I really like in Smash Brothers. I'm kind of agree with all of you. Like, some levels, they transform or whatnot, and that's really cool, but then you can kind of get burnt out on it. I always really enjoy the Metroid Brinstar level, just because I really love Metroid, and I love hearing that rock guitar version of Metroid.
Is that the one where the lava keeps
someone with the lava.
Are you talking about the brawl or the melee one?
Brawl.
The bra, where you had to jump inside that little capsule to be protected. Cool.
I also really like the Wind Waker level when you're on the ship and like the ship gets shot up into the sky and then a storm appears. You know, I thought that was just such a cool way to show off the Wind Waker world. Again, like we've already touched on, the level of detail and care, even in the stages, is really, really impressive. All right. So, like I said at the beginning of this podcast, we're about a week out from Smash Brothers for Wii U. The 3DS version came out about, a month or two ago at this point? And these two versions are somewhat similar, but there are some very, very big differences between them. So for Wii U, here's how I kind of want to frame this discussion. What are you most excited for this version coming out? And what are you most worried about? I'll start the discussion to give us all a little time to think. One thing that they've come out and said is you can have eight players, local player, or I think online play too, smashing against each other all at the same time, which is a new thing for the series. It's never been in the series before to have eight players on the screen.
It's new for any video game that I can think of right now. Eight players at the same time.
Which
sounds great. You'd have to go onto the PC for that. Mm-hmm. Or into like a multiplayer match like Halo or Call of Duty or something.
Yeah, but to put it into a fighting game is, if anyone's going to do it, it's going to be Nintendo. And if anyone can do it right the first time, it's Nintendo. So I'm very curious to see how that plays out. And I'm actually really excited that for the first time in the series, they can introduce DLC if they want to. The DLC for Mario Kart 8 is about to come out and it looks amazing. So I can only imagine what type of DLC they will release for Smash Brothers. I mean,
They've already announced one.
Yeah, they did. They announced Mewtwo, which is really, really impressive. I'm really, really excited. And one thing I'd like to point out about Smash Brothers for the Wii U is they've opened the roster up even further. My boy Mega Man is in there. I love me some Mega Man. I have not played as him yet. He may suck, but even if he does suck, I'm determined to master Mega Man if I can. And I remember the image that they released where it's Mario versus Mega Man versus Sonic versus Pac-Man, which is four iconic gaming franchises that have been around since pretty much the birth of video games from four very different publishers. And that image is just so striking to me to see these four characters fighting each other, and that's what Smash Brothers is about, is taking iconic legends and throwing them against each other. But the DLC and the eight player, I'm very, very excited for. One thing I'm extremely worried about is Nintendo just does not have a great online space. They're getting better, but Smash Brothers Brawl had a horrible online functionality. And let's be honest, even with eight players working on a limited battlefield, there's still going to be some lag. Like, that's hard to do.
If there is lag, it'll be unplayable as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, so...
Like, playing the game is so...
That they agree, because in all the advertising I see, they keep talking about how their online matches, they're dedicated in certain ways. Like, there's no voice chat during the match. They're doing everything they can to shave off that. However, that is worrying in itself. The fact that they have to disable certain features to kind of like eke out a little
limited bandwidth.
Yeah.
That means on the levels where there's a whole crap ton of stuff happening in the background, it's gonna get laggy. I'm already prepared for the disappointment.
So let's start with you. What are you most excited for, and what are you most worried about?
All right. I'm most excited about seeing Smash Brothers in HD. I'm so excited about, that's my main thing I'm excited about, but then I'm going to add in what I'm most excited / nervous, and then I'm going to go to what I'm really afraid of. So my excited nervous is I'm really excited to find out how fast this game is. I want it to be lightning fast. I don't want it to be floaty. Everybody says, I've looked online and I've researched, everybody says that it is definitely in between of Melee and Brawl, and that is absolutely acceptable, and I will be very happy about that. I will not be happy if it plays like Brawl. I will not be happy. The thing that I am extremely nervous, not very excited about, because I'm just really nervous about it, is the same thing that you talked about, Chris, which is the online play. And it's only because I've been playing the DS version. And now the DS version is hit and miss. And I played for about an hour before I got on this podcast today. And I found one guy and we played for a half an hour and it was pretty good. It was pretty darn good. And I was like, wow, this is really good. Great. Awesome. And I can tell you that that is uncommon in my experience with playing the 3DS online. And it's frustrating because I don't know how these kids are so good with playing with a lag. They must just be playing with a lag all the time that they're used to it. And they
you can get used to a lag real easily.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
You can but use it strategically to plan out your next move.
Well, the thing
you can use lag in shooters. It's crazy.
The thing about Smash compared to... you know, a lot of other games, especially like any other game you play online, whether it's Diablo or Halo or whatever, is you can notice a microsecond lag on Smash Brothers. You can notice it. I notice it immediately. You know, the game is so much faster on the DS, and then I go online and whoa, it is a noticeable, huge difference. Now, they've taken out voice chat. They've, not only that, they've told everybody that they need to buy this adapter to make your Wii U equip directly to the Ethernet, which I will be buying. But the problem is that if one person doesn't buy one of those Ethernet things, then
it won't slow down the whole game necessarily.
No, but you share the bandwidth, so it'll mess up half of it. Because the way, there's not a host per se, like on Diablo, the one person hosts it and you join on with
it's
this
not
one
a server.
You're sharing. You share the information. You come together and share. So there's not one.
I thought
one
the game
person.
Lived on a Nintendo server somewhere.
It does. It does. But like in Diablo, there's a player who is the main host of the game. So his internet connection is the most important. Whereas on Nintendo, it's like equal, like both players having the same speed or connectivity. So that's what I'm really nervous about.
Scott, yeah, just to stick with you real quick. You said you've been playing the 3DS version. How do you like that version? Is it fast enough for you? Or
it is, but there's no C-stick, and the 3DS cannot run the game. The 3DS, which is why they built another 3DS and they released it in Japan. The 3DS... I've never seen the 3DS putter in my life with every other game I played on it. I tell you that the 3DS putters when it tries to play Smash Brothers.
Wow.
Now once it gets it up and running, it's fine. But there are load times on Smash Brothers. What, it was like, what? What? The game takes like a good 5 minutes to turn on. But like I said, it's because of the hardware. You know, an iPhone could run Smash Brothers better than the 3DS. And that's where I get a little frustrated at Nintendo. You know, they're
slow
about making games. But I was like, look, at some point you got to make some good hardware here. I mean, really, guys, I don't. If an iPhone can run Smash Brothers better than the 3DS, you got a freaking problem.
That's interesting, because usually Nintendo is very good about working within the limitations of their technology.
Yep. Well, like I said,
the internet changes the game, you know?
Technology went faster than Nintendo.
Exactly. When you're working with just consoles, that is absolutely true.
Yeah.
The consoles independently, Xbox 360, PlayStation, a lot of the games rely on internet connection. All the Wii games, you can just play all the Wii games.
Yeah. Mm. What's his name? Sakurai? I keep forgetting the...
Sakurai.
Sakurai came out and said that the internet connectivity problems were not the game's problems, but everybody's internet problems. And he explained how the game is so fast, and when you connect on the internet, you notice a lag because that's just you're playing somebody across the country. And so I guess we notice it more because this game is so timing-based, and not other games are as, you know, precise when you play online.
Let me jump over. Actually, before I jump over to Tom, let me jump over to Pete with a segue question. Pete, the question I want to ask you is, have you played Mortal Kombat online?
Online? No, I have not, actually. I've played I played Marvel vs. Capcom 3 online.
How did that hold up?
It held up well. There was a little bit of a load time. That game, it still follows that core of the cel-shaded two-dimensional characters. It's not as involved as Smash Brothers level. It's still the 2D fight with mass combos. There's huge aerial game in that, but it's still that solid plane, and the stages aren't big. So the fighters can still function in the same place, and it's still following that old philosophy. So I didn't notice a lag, but I guess maybe it was a lag. It did feel different playing online.
Okay. I was just curious, trying to compare it to other fighters, since fighters tend to be very fast twitch, and you'll more notice a lag in a fighter, I think, than you will in, like, Diablo or whatnot.
Absolutely.
Nintendo has always been committed to having people come over and play together. Like, they've been so reluctant to get into the online gaming because they really want you and your friends to hang out. And that's very sweet of Nintendo, and that's very nice of them.
Yeah, but mind your own business.
Yeah, but now I need you to get this right.
I agree with all that said. Like, I enjoy playing online. I so much more enjoy playing Mario Kart with people in the room with me.
I agree with you. You are right, and Smash is probably the same. You know, you're right, but. What if I'm a 33-year-old guy who doesn't have many friends who play Smash and I want to get better, and then I go to this tournament and all these 16-year-olds kick my ass because I don't have any 16-year-olds to play with? And that sounded really dirty, but it wasn't.
Yeah, that did.
Just have a child, wait 15 years, and then you can get good at this game.
Yeah. Oh, you'll be amazing.
Hey, you know, I play Tekken 6 online all the time, and every once in a while I'll have lag, but there are many, many instances of an entire match going by zero lag. Not the case with the Wii online experience. The Wii online experience had lag every single time. I was hardwired into the internet.
I didn't know any lag. Did you get any lag in Mario Kart, Chris, when you play online?
I actually have not played Mario Kart 8 online very much. I have played Mario Kart 7 on the 3DS online, and I did not have lag, which I would think I would be more inclined to have lag on a handheld. Yeah. So,
yeah, the Mario Kart 8. I mean, I guess Mario Kart might be an easier engine to run. I don't know anything about tech, but Mario Kart on the Wii U was perfect. But the DS was so bad that I'm not excited to find out how good the Wii U is going to be. I'm really nervous.
So let me jump back over to Pete. Pete, is there something you're excited for the new Smash Brothers coming out, or something that you're worried about, or do you just not care? Is it not on your radar?
It wasn't on my radar, and I've heard some exciting things, and I watched a great YouTube campaign, the 50 Facts About Smash Brothers Wii U, which really, they did such a good job on that video, and the narrator is so funny. I got excited for the game, but I wasn't planning on getting a Wii U. And as much as I like Nintendo games, all the games I want to play are going to be on the Xbox or the PS. So my decision's really there. As far as what I'm excited about when I do get to play it, I mentioned it before. It was the eight people. Like, the more people, the merrier. I want to see how insane these matches get.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really excited for that. So,
yeah.
You know, yeah, like four huge stages they got?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be awesome.
So, Tom, as my other huge Smashbert, we'll call you Smashbert.
Smashbert.
Schnarf. What are you excited for, and what are you worried about?
Well, obviously the yoga instructor. No, not her at all. Okay, there are a lot more characters in this one versus the new characters that were in Brawl, right? Seems like a load more characters, so that's cool. Aren't most of them available at the beginning? Not a lot of unlocking necessary?
You have to unlock, but it's pretty easy to get. Like, I think they said there were like 50 characters, am I right? But I think 26 of them are unlocked, which is
okay.
That's a lot to start with, 26. So
okay, so that is good, because I mean, I remember playing Melee, and it's like when you first got the game, and it's like three characters, not three, but you know, very few characters, and none of the ones you really wanted to play with. I think Fox was one of the ones you had to unlock, which disappointed me.
No, Falco. So
Falco, you're right.
100 Man Melee.
Oh, good memory. Dang.
Wow.
So all the new stages, I like the new modes. I mean, there are there's like a board game thing, mm-hmm. like, you know, like a party game. That's cool. I like all of the different ways they've manipulated the game for play with multiplayers. The Meebios, that's what they're called, right? Meebio?
Amiibos.
Amiibo with an A at the beginning.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, like amoeba, but
amiibo. I thought they were saying the letter A, amiibo. That's what. But it's an N amiibo. I got it. Those look cool. Taking a character that you've built up at home to another person's house. That concept doesn't really exist. I mean, you play on your console. You go to your friend's house. You play on their console with their saved data. Or you can bring your console. But now you just bring this little figure and you can... I mean, I can't wait to see how that actually works because that looks interesting. What am I worried about? The connectivity issues. What I'm really worried about is the fact that I've got to buy a Wii U, 14 different accessories, and an Amiibo. That's what I'm really concerned about. All the money I'm going to have to sink into this.
That was another worry of mine because I'd buy the system, I'd get the game.
Controllers.
The controller, I'll make do with the bonus one, you know, that they give me, the GameCube one.
Sure.
Give you a controller? I'm hoping the Wii U will bring more titles, more interesting titles in the future, because I wouldn't want to sink all the money in the system to play Smash Brothers and have that be the only game I play.
Oh, guys, the stage builder. Oh my gosh. The stage builder is amazing. Like using a pen to draw and build a stage. Hello. I think that's brand new as well. I mean, there's so many innovations in these games that
stage builder's a great idea.
Such a great idea. I mean, it makes stage building so easy so that you could come up with something really quickly. Unlike the one in Brawl, which is a little bit cumbersome.
It is, yeah.
Another cool thing for me, you know, because sometimes it got boring playing at Final Destination every time. Well, now every single stage has an Omega form,
boring.
Which is a flat, boring stage. Yeah.
Oh,
so that means you can play at Hyrule Temple, but it's just a small platform. You can play at all these different sceneries, but have
and get different music and nice.
Yeah, exactly. So that's really, really cool for the. For the people like me who like to, you know, don't like too much going on the stage.
Nice. Well, you know, one thing we glossed over, Pete, you mentioned you watched the YouTube video of the 50 amazing facts.
That was a great video.
I think it's the same narrator from Dragon Ball Z. No, it's not. But
he has that sound.
He does have that sound. The marketing for Smash Brothers has always been really phenomenal. Everything from like releasing a little bit of information every day to like full-on character trailers are done with such style. I mean, I love the character trailers. The introduction for Mega Man I thought was phenomenal. Bowser Jr. was really fun to watch. Even the Wii Fit Trainer had a character trailer that was really funny to watch. The marketing for these games tends to be really, really good. I am curious if it's effective, if it's getting out to the people it needs to be getting out to, or if it...
We're doing a podcast on it, aren't we?
We are, but three of the four of us are really diehard Smash fans, and two of us are diehard Nintendo fans who already own a Wii U. Now, the fact that you said you don't want, you don't really want to pick up a Wii U just for this one investment kind of tells me that it's not working.
This would be the only reason I would get a Wii U. I mean,
exactly. Kind of. They, I think for this game specifically, they've done such a good job. I'm finally considering a Wii U. I'm like, oh, maybe I should, because this game looks amazing.
You know, I'm going to make a prediction, and I honestly believe that this game will save this system.
Interesting.
That's Eternal, a tough call.
Well, why does the system need saving? First of all,
absolutely, it needs saving. Nobody is buying a Wii U, even though you take an Xbox One and a PS4, and you count me how many playable, amazing games there are, and you can't tell me that there are any. There are maybe one or two. You got Destiny or this game or what? It's just not.
But all those games I'm playing on my 360. I mean, it's a downgraded version.
They're still available.
But exactly. Dragon Age 3 I'm going to be playing on my 360. I haven't made the investment yet.
Exactly. There's no reason to have a PS4 or an Xbox One. I mean, just saying. So at this point in time, there's no reason why people shouldn't be buying the Wii U, but nobody has. And that's Nintendo's fault for making it a very confusing launch and people just really confused on exactly what it was.
I didn't know what I'd have to buy in order to make it work. I don't
You just have to buy the system. It comes with everything that you need. It's dirt cheap now. But Smash Brothers is different. Smash Brothers was the one game that you could convince people who didn't play Nintendo to play. Like, because it's kicking the crap out of each other with Mario. Oh, that sounds fun. Great. Awesome. So I really think that it's going to be what Nintendo needs. It's going to break a bunch of records for them. It's going to be huge.
So
Wii U lost $3 billion in their so far with their Wii U release.
Scott, all systems lose money at first.
Systems do tend to lose money when they first launch. Scott, do you feel Smash Brothers is more important than Mario Kart?
Yes, absolutely. Another thing you have to remember about Nintendo, Nintendo is a company that is in the black. They have cash. Like, they're like one of the only companies that has a ton of cash because they've been smartly investing in other weird crap. So yeah, they lost $1 billion here, but
their merchandising is brilliant.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they have cash. So they are far. They can make a lot more mistakes.
They can. That's true.
They can make a lot more mistakes. But I think that, I mean, God, everybody thought the GameCube was a piece of crap. And then you look back on it, and it was pretty amazing.
Yeah.
You
know,
Eternal Darkness. Oh, my God.
I mean, Resident Evil 4 on the GameCube played better than any other system ever.
Yep.
And the GameCube controller, which everyone thought was weird and hokey, in the end, is such an amazing controller that
they
still make
it. It's become a classic controller.
Yeah, because it's such a weirdly designed controller that's absolutely perfect. So, you know, they're going to be okay. They're going to be fine. But this game has got to be huge for them. That's why they've done the marketing. I mean, they've been building this. I've never seen a game this built up. Every day they release people are clamoring to see the new screenshot that Nintendo released. All summer, they were one a day, one different picture a day,
and sometimes it'll crash the site.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, this game is going to be huge. They're going to bundle it with the Wii U. Get this Wii U system. We'll do an Amiibo bundle too. It's going to be the biggest game this holiday season. It's going to be huge. Give it a year, and the tournament players will find a way to break it, and then Nintendo now can do a patch and fix it.
All right, let's wrap this podcast up. Is there any final thoughts about Smash Brothers that you guys want to throw out? You've actually all said some really good final things, but any other final thing you wish to say about the Smash Brothers franchise?
This game is going to be huge. Get on the ride, kids.
Yeah.
Tom?
It's a lot of fun. I mean, it's really easy to pick up, and it's a lot of fun. And, for people who don't like fighting games, there's other stuff in the game that you can do. There's lots of cool stuff.
Pete, my outcast, what do you say?
Well, I'll be an outcast. I'm excited for the game. I really want to play it. I'm going to go over to friends' houses and play it. And I suppose that's the idea behind it, but it's not enough to get me to get it. I'm going to need more to get a Wii U. I'm going to need... can't just be Smash Brothers.
You're holding out for Arkham Knight, aren't you?
Yeah, that game looks pretty cool.
Okay.
Mario Kart, 3D Land, Wind Waker.
Oh, how about a new Legend of Zelda?
Oh, the new Zelda that comes out next year. Pete, I'm just saying.
Is it a new one, Scott? An actual new one?
Yeah, it's new.
Yeah, it's going to be a
yay. Not a remake of an old game again.
All right.
Yeah, maybe that's why I haven't played it.
All right. Well, we are running pretty long, so we unfortunately need to bring the Super Smash Bros. Discussion to a close. Dear listener, if you are out there and you want crazy 4-to-8 player mayhem, I would highly recommend looking at Smash Brothers. It is a great investment and really honors all the games that came before it. So even if you only like one of these characters, I think you'll find something brilliant inside that game. Okay, guys. Well, we're on a time crunch, so let's pimp out anything else that people are working on. Tom, is there a Twitter or anything that you're working on that you want to give a shout out to?
Yeah, check my website out, www.thombrown3.com.
Nice. Scott?
Yeah, my band Bourbon and Bliss doing really well right now. Check us out, www.bourbonandbliss.com.
Cool. Pete?
Not right now. I work a desk job, but I'll be working on something.
Woo! If you're in the Chicagoland area, you can check me out in Game of Mobile Homes, a Game of Thrones satire.
Hilarious.
Set in a mobile homes trailer park. We had a sold-out opening weekend, and it looks like the run is going to be doing really well and possibly will sell out. So,
oh, that sounds awesome.
It's a lot of fun. You can see me play Joffrey Clannister. Obviously, he's supposed to be Jeffrey Clannister. Obviously he's supposed to be Joffrey Baratheon.
Yeah, that's his name.
Yeah. And yeah, it's a fun show. So if you're in the Chicago area, please check it out. If you have any questions, comments, protests, or topic suggestions, you can email them to nerdoutcastpodcast@gmail.com. And that is all I've got. Gentlemen, thank you for coming out and discussing Nintendo's super awesome, epic Super Smash Brothers for all wonderful Nintendo systems that exist. I have been your host, Chris Bashan, and joining me to discuss Super Smash Brothers have been
T. Scott Ross,
Tom Brown,
and Pete Foose.
Thank you, and have a good night.